On today's Bill of the Fleda Show, episode 240, Nose Hairs, Killing Squids, Brenda Starr, and Hoarding. All of this and more. The Fleda Show, starring Kenty and Nellie the Cockatiel. Welcome to the Fleda Show. A low-calorie carbonated beverage for my diet. Yum. I'm your host, Kenty. And my co-host, Nellie the Cockatiel, are here to welcome you to another Fleda Show. How are you doing, kids? It was hot this past week. Yes, Mel. Now she's starting to talk. She was quiet before. She's co-hosting, right? You co-hosting, Mel? So, how are you doing, kids? Is it hot in your area? After 4th of July, it was hot for a week. And now it's cool. Again.
Nice.
Cool breeze. Nice cool breeze coming in the window. Johnny went down to see Daniel in North Carolina, and I've been home by myself, and so I turned off the air conditioner, and I just slept without the air conditioner. Can you believe it? I don't like the air conditioner. You know, it's okay in the car, and I like it occasionally going into a store or whatever, but I don't like sleeping in air conditioning. So how are you doing, kids? I'm doing wonderfully. What was I going to talk about? Well, I talk about crap. Oh, no, I don't talk about crap. I talk about some movies I saw later on in the show. What else is there to talk about? Cleaning the room. That's what I was going to talk about. I come from a family of hoarders. So I know genetically I'm predispositioned for hoarding. And so I'm aware of it, okay? And so I have to, yes, Mel, not you. You're not part of the horde. I have to caution myself, okay? And get rid of stuff. Now I like collecting LPs. I like having them, and I like having the DVDs and stuff and CDs. But it comes to a point where there's like too much. So today, I was looking for something. I had bought some ink yesterday. I took Gilly to I went down to buy some ink from my printer, and Gilly, I went to, yes, Mel, Gilly, not Melly, Gilly. I took that's John's mother. I took her down to the CVS to pick up some eye drops. And what we found out there, actually, is that the CVS, they have this thing called a Minute Clinic. And you can go see a nurse practitioner for $62. And, you know, for like minor, you know, whatever, minor problems. Now, that's pretty good. If you could just go and pay $62 to see a doctor, you know, that's fine. I like that. I like that. You know, that's affordable. I think $62, you know. And if there's really poor people, you know, put it on a sliding scale. But, you know, I can afford $62 to see a doctor if I have to, you know. That's what it should be. Pay out of pocket. That's what I like. And I just don't like insurance companies. So it bothers me. It bothers me. What else is it going to say here? So boarding on hoarding. Okay, so I came in looking for my ink, and I couldn't find the ink I bought. Now, it was right where I had put it. I did end up finding it. And I also found out that I didn't need to buy ink. I already had some ink. So then as I was looking for the ink, I started cleaning up stuff, and I went over to the couch, and I said, geez, Louise, I have to really clean up some stuff. I have all my gym stuff on the couch, and, you know, and I have you know, my paints. I have this thing in the middle of the room here, like a, it's a chest where I keep all my paint materials. And that had stuff on it. So I said, you know, I want to clean this couch off. So I cleaned the couch off, and I have, you know, I pulled everything off, all my gym clothes, and I went through, and it was a lot of clothes. So I hung up all my coats and winter stuff, because it was like sitting on the couch, and I went and pulled all the stuff out, put on the bed, sorted through it. I have made a list of stuff I wanted to just get rid of it completely, throw away, and then other stuff I can, you know, is good enough to donate. Yes, Mel. Yeah, pretty girl. And then I went through my clothes closet and pulled everything out, you know, went through stuff. I said, am I going to wear this? No, no, no. And so I was, you know, I was pretty good. I cut down a lot of stuff. So I have a bag of trash. I have a bag to send to wherever, the Salvation Army or whatever. And then the other stuff I, you know, put in the wash. I cleaned everything up. Yes, Mel. So I said, okay, I got the couch done. So you know what? If I can do one thing at a time, that will be the way I have to do it. Now, there are some things I have to take to the dump. Like there's a computer, which I have to take to the dump. It's for recycling. And I just want to get everything. Like I have some stuff on the floor. I have a few piles of books on the floor. Like, you know, sheet music. I have a place for the sheet music, but it's filled. So I really have to go through and figure out what I want to keep, you know? That's my problem. You know, I end up getting stuff and, you know, I don't have room for it. So I have a couple shelves. So my next thing I'm going to do is go through a shelf I have here, which has this odds and ends on it. And then I can move my, move some more stuff over here, like some music or whatever. Like I can reconfigure it. You know what I'm saying? Just so I have the floor completely cleaned up and nothing on the couch, nothing in the middle, and then I can go and I can go through the LPs and get rid of some of the LPs and you know, maybe sell a lot of my CDs, you know, get rid of some of my CDs. I have a lot of CDs. And that would be good. You know, if I could do that, that would be good. And then there's some books, too, I want to sell. Part of me is like, you know, a lot of the stuff I have is that, you know, I spent, you know, I know that I don't want to get rid of the stuff that I don't want to just throw away stuff that I know has value to it, you know, that I personally know has value. So another thing I did is that, you know, I had bought some hooks to, they're actually coat hooks, coat rack hooks. And I had bought two of them a couple years ago and I hung my tenor ukulele up. I wanted a place for my tenor ukulele. Well, since that time, I got a baritone ukulele, and I have my soprano ukulele. And they were just hanging around up here on the floor. So what I did, kids, is I bought more hooks, and I hung them up on the wall. So I have my ukuleles up on the wall, up on the wall. Now what I really need to do is find a shelf for my bodybuilding supplies, my protein shakes and stuff. There's no room in the kitchen. I keep it here in the my room, my studio. And you know, I have a shelf of music, a bunch of music. So I think I'm going to go through that and get rid of some of the sheet music I have, because I have a lot. And you know, pare it down, because I have a lot of duplications, and I don't need it. I don't need the duplications. But it's something else, you know. It's hard. I wish I had more shelf space. That's what I wish. But you know, I don't have the shelf space, so I have to be prudent and just buckle down and do that. So that's what I'm working on. So it's hard to do the Fleta show when I'm, you know, doing this. But as I found out this morning, when I woke up, I started very early. I got right on it, and I started doing this stuff. So I think that if I can do that on Saturdays and Sundays, I can get this, my room, you know, my stuff under control, you know, and I'll be happy. So just to know, if you're a hoarder yourself, there is hope. So just take one day at a time and get rid of stuff, you know. Really, you know, I don't think I have a mental problem with the hoarding, but I know I have a tendency because of my family, the way I was raised, to keep stuff and, you know, find value in trash. It's like I fight myself all the time. It's like I go to there's a dump here, the dump town dump where we take our trash, and there's a free book swap, and I was like, find treasures in there. Like, well, you know, I did find some great stuff which has lasted me a long time. I mean, and I'll keep it, like the Crisco cookbook. But there's other stuff I've gotten in there, which I have it here in the room, and eventually what I'll do is I'll send it back, you know. Now, this is a prime example, is I found a Christian Science hymnal. And my plan was to sing some of the Christian Science hymns. Because actually, I like hymns. And, but do I really need this hymnal? You know, that's the question. Do I really need the hymnal? Probably not, you know. And so I'll probably take it back to the dump. But it sits right here until I do that. So there are books like that. So I do take stuff back to the dump. I take it back to the swap shop, you know, to get rid of it. What else is there? Well, I have a bunch of vases, which, you know, do we buy flowers? No. So why do I have them, right? But I do like having vases. You know, that's another thing. You're getting a new picture of me, aren't you? I can just see it now. Like a house full of vases. Sort of like Grey Gardens, but instead of cats, there are vases. It's not that bad. It really isn't that bad. What else is there? What else is going on this week? Mel, help me remember. She just sits there in her cage. She has been a really good bird. Let me tell you. She's a good co-host. As I yawn. What was I going to say? I had something else to think of. Let me pause. Okay, I'm back. What I was thinking of is, you know, I've been trying to think of stuff to talk about. And it's actually all happened this weekend. I went to go see, there was a North Shore Music Fair, which is theater in the round. I think it was built in the 50s originally. And it's theater in the round. If you've ever been to theater in the round, the stage is in the center and you sit around it and they act on it, okay? It's good for, they have, performers there. Sometimes, like singers, but they do plays and musicals. Not plays so much, but musicals. So in 2005 or something like that, a couple years ago, there was a fire at the North Shore Music Fair. And they, after they rebuilt, they were, you know, it seemed like they were, you know, doing well. And then all of a sudden, I think it was in 2008 or 2009, it was 2009, they just went belly up, and people lost their money. The ones who paid for their subscriptions, right, lost all this money. So we find out this guy, Haney, I think his last name is, and he came and bought it from the bank who went defaulted to. Now this guy has made his money in movie theaters, but he also has a live theater in Rhode Island, which he bought under similar circumstances. And but he bought this North Shore Music Fair, and he's been producing shows. There's four shows this year. So their opening show they did was Gypsy, which is, of course, you know, one of the best musicals ever. And singing Gypsy was, hold on, let me get her name, Vicki Lewis. Vicki Lewis was the singer. She's apparently some TV star. Never heard of her before. But she looks sort of like Bette Midler on stage. She had that look. And she sounded like a cross between Bernadette Peters and Patti LuPone. So she had it down. You know, she had it down, the the Mama Rose. She was very good. She was a very good Mama Rose. As the Herald wrote, not a gypsy to for all ages, but a certainly very good gypsy. And so I'm glad to see that they're back in back in business. I thought it was going to be more filled, you know. I thought their more tickets were. I thought there was going to be a greater number of tickets there. You know, I mean, people at the theater, you know. And it wasn't. It wasn't really filled to the brim, which I was expecting. So I hope they make it. I hope they sell lots. I hope they sell lots of tickets to go for this run, and they do well. You know, they make money, because it'd be a shame to lose the North Shore Music Fair. And I've seen a few shows there, so I'm glad it's back in business. Back in business. So, what else is there? That was it. North Shore Music Fair already. Yeah, it took up some time. I wanted to talk about that. What else is going on in life? Just, you know, this and that. Busy at work. Trying to get. Well, I mean, you know, my focus is I'm really excited about what I was able to do today, getting things cleaned up and codified, because I want to be a little bit leaner and meaner. Not meaner, because how could I be mean? You know, I am not mean. I'm a nice guy. Certainly leaner, you know. It's like I look at this stuff as I have books and stuff, and I think I'll never read these again. What am I going to do with them? I suppose I could just take them to the dump and forget about it. Don't worry about the value, right? Just get rid of it. Somebody's going to use it. Or maybe, you know, who knows. And, it's very, the idea of having just everything pared down is very appealing to me, you know. Limited, I don't want to have a whole bunch of shit, you know. I don't want it hanging around my neck like an albatross. And we have, I think, as humans, we have a tendency to do that, you know, sort of a way to almost sort of anchor ourselves, you know. It's like people who own houses, I mean, they fill up the house, you know. It just happens, you know. Families do that, you know. And I'm not talking about, you know, hoarding either. I'm talking about, you know, things just happen. They get accumulated and they stay, you know, and then when if they get sent up to the attic or down to the basement or to the garage or whatever, sometimes it's sold at a garage sale. But, you know, it's like things have a tendency to stick. And I think people do this, have this stuff to anchor themselves to history, maybe, or to feel they buy stuff to feel satisfied. I don't know what it is. I mean, I think it's part of this consumerist culture we have, which is, you know, really took off in the 50s and 60s. And, you know, it's just a symptom, you know, you know. We're not, we're a society of, takers, you know, of collectors, and not doers, and, you know, producing something. Now, not everybody has to produce something, but, you know, I don't know. I think of the 19th century people who had diaries. You know, how many people had diaries? I mean, maybe not many people. Maybe just the famous writers had diaries. But it seemed like everybody, you know, was produced something. You know, had a diary, or I don't know. Maybe there's no truth to that. That could just be my own, you know, what I think, my own idea, which is possible, probably probable. So on that note, on with the show.
Nash, that's Brenda Starr you hear, finishing up her scoop just for you.
Brenda Starr. Hi, kids. It's another Brenda Starr update. How you doing? I'm having a problem here with this microphone. Last week, it seemed like it was the very end of this Brenda Starr sequence as they arrested, in a sense, Sterling Golden. Let me take out these earphones because I'm done listening. And so Harry says, you know what, this fucking mic, hold on. How's that? I can see and talk. So Harry shows up. He's feeling good, except he says, I'm fat and middle-aged, so I'm feeling, you know, as good as I can be. But he's a news junkie, so he wants to be where the news is. So Sterling Golden says, Harry, old friend, give me a lawyer. And Harry says, there are no friends in politics, Sterling Golden. And that's what Ed Verity says. Yeah, right, Sterling Golden. Nice to be your friend. And he says, yeah, but, you know, we were best friends once. And, yeah, it was when we shared our principles. And then Ed Sterling says, oh, that was her name. It makes it sound like they were shared the same woman. Isn't that disgusting? I mean, not because it's just, I don't know why it sounds disgusting, but I shouldn't be, why should I be disgusted by it? Why, you know, I'm venting my own New England, morals on people. It's fine if they want to share a person, but the fact that they mention it, make her sound like meat, you know, like she really wasn't part of the deal. Or maybe that's the way I'm making it up. Maybe all three of them were. I don't even know if the three of them had a three-way. I don't even know, and I'm making a big deal out of it. All I know is that if there's any kind of three-way or multiple sex partners, that you're all kosher with it, okay? And have fun, and wear condoms, okay? So, as Mia, who is head of the Green Movement thing, the Government Green Action Committee or whatever it's called, puts him away. And he says, my mother will have your heads. That's what Golden Sterling says. Well, we'll see about that, Golden Sterling. So we find out that Ed Verity had been recruited by Mia to work for the Bureau of Green Investigation. That's the name of it. And it gotten tips about the mayor's corruptions. Now, Brenda Starr says to Mia, well, who gave you the tips? And Mia says, I'm sorry, I can't disclose the details of the case, but I really have to go now. And then Harry says, oh, come on, Mia, we're just getting started. Let's have a drink. So you know, he stops Mia. And were you and Sterling ever truly friends, Ed? That's what Brenda asks Ed. And Ed says, yeah, it was just that he had a bad mother. And then Brenda Starr says, don't blame it on Mom, okay? And he says, well, I'm sorry to hold a grudge, but the old lady tried to kill me. She hired the mayor of the town to do it. But the mayor instead helped Ed Verity fake his death and then, you know, close in on the culprits. So there's a scene of a prison. And Golden Sterling is in there saying, my mother will have your necks! Mother! She's not going to hear you in, from there. You're in Belize, honey. And so Mrs. Golden hired the mayor to kill Golden Sterling before he published the damaging information. And it says here, meanwhile, Mia continued to build up the case against the Goldens, which culminated in Sterling embezzling millions from developers and trying to flee to Cuba. And then Mia continued to con us all. That's what Harry Rumpel says. Brenda, remember the tape I made at Mrs. Golden's? Remember that? So it says, the cops have it now. Mia and Mrs. Golden were in cahoots behind Sterling's back. Isn't that scandalous? So with the last panel, we have Mrs. Golden in handcuffs, and she says, "Tape? What tape? You can't treat me like this. You can't treat me like Rod Blagojevich." So, kids, was Mia really involved with the old lady? And what about Golden Sterling? Now that he's in jail, will he be fudge packing? And Brenda Starr, what kind of story is she going to write? Is it going to be good? I hope it continues a little longer. I hope it ends better than this. Well, on that note, wait, I'm not on with the show. We'll possibly find out the answers to these questions and more next week. Oh, fuck. Eons. Tochter Arnold's. Tochter Solvang's. Eons. Mesmerized. Okay, Mesmerized is a movie with Jodie Foster. If you haven't heard of it, there's probably a reason for that. I will read the back of the DVD. Now, by the way, this DVD I bought has three full-length features on it. One of which is Mesmerized with Jodie Foster. A second film is called Lovers and Liars with Goldie Hawn. And the third one is The Lady and the Highwayman with Hugh Grant. Now, I watched all three. But I skipped through parts of Lovers and Liars. And I only looked at like 2 minutes of Lady and the Highwayman. The Lady and the Highwayman is actually written by Barbara Cartland, a famous writer from the British Isles who wrote like romance novels. But let's talk about Mesmerized with Jodie Foster. It says here, Jodie Foster plays a young woman held captive to the bizarre torment of her deranged husband, John Lithgow. An ensuing love triangle combines passion and deception in a way that can only lead to murder. Now, this movie is set in 19th century, I don't know if it's New Zealand or Australia, at one of those places, and Jodie Foster is a orphan. She's an orphan, and she doesn't say much. And we find out that, she, I don't know how old she is, maybe 14 or 15, and she is betrothed and married off to John Lithgow, a merchant, in a very rich merchant who lives far off. So, after their marriage, he says, we'll have to wait a year before we can see each other again. So, Jodie Foster goes back to the orphanage. Now, just to let you know, she doesn't say one word this whole, like, first. She didn't say much in the whole movie. She might have 10 lines. And so she goes back to the orphanage, married. And then there's a scene where she's leaving and she goes to meet her husband. So she goes to find that her husband's not at the house. She goes upstairs. And she gets undressed and goes to bed. Meanwhile, we find out the husband is in the house, and he's been spying at her getting undressed through a hole in the wall. So he comes into her room later that night, and she gets up and slaps him. And we find out that she doesn't really give out. She wears a chastity belt. And then we find out that's what the orphanage taught her, not to have sex with her husband, even though they married her off. So, next scene we have is that Jodie Foster is getting more intimate with John Lithgow's character. Meanwhile, every time that Jodie Foster speaks, she has an American accent. John Lithgow does try to speak with an Australian, New Zealand accent. So, He says, "Girl, get the scissors and cut my nose hairs." And so she comes, and there's a big long scene where she is snipping his nose hairs. Okay, this is unbelievable that it was ever filmed. I mean, one thinks of Showgirls as the worst film ever made. No, Mesmerized has to be up there with one of the worst films ever made, and with, you know, big money behind it. Okay, so meanwhile, Nell, I was going to call her Nell, Jodie Foster's character, I don't even know her name. I forget her name. Anyway, she... Oh, the DVD's coming out. She comes, and she's in the house, and, you know, she's playing wife. And John Lithgow's brother, the husband's brother, comes, and he's younger, more handsome. And they go and play with the dogs. Next thing you know, the father comes, and he's a real, like, you know, stick in the mud. He doesn't like, I'll call her Nell, okay? Even though that's not her character's name. Jodie Foster's character's Nell. And he doesn't like her and, you know, thinks that she's only good for what women are good for, and except for his wife, who's not a whore. And so... John Lithgow's, we'll call him John Lithgow, the husband. His brother leaves the house. Jodie Foster follows him on a boat to America. But the husband finds out that Nell has left and goes and searches for her, only to find her on board the ship with his brother. So he bursts into the cabin and there's a fight ensues, and John Lithgow is fighting with his brother, and Nell picks up a heavy item and hits somebody in the head. We find out it's the brother, the man she loves. And John Lithgow looks up at Nell and says, "You killed my brother." So she goes into this like fainting spell. They get her back to the house. She thinks that she's killed her lover. And so life goes on and she gets pregnant. And everything's going fine except for towards the end of the pregnancy, she has, I don't know what happens. She just screams. Again, she doesn't have many lines in this movie. And she loses the baby. The next scene, is the funeral of the baby. Now there is a minister who comes into the scene, and he talks to Nell a lot. And he has an American accent too. And they have books, and there's one book that she's reading of his called How to Do Hypnosis. So she's in the house, and she's saying, "Father, you know, John Lithgow, I'm learning how to do hypnosis. Can I read it to you?" And so there's this one evening, and Nell and the minister and John Lithgow are in the house, and after dinner they decide to do hypnosis on each other. Nell goes under. But we find out that, you know, Nell is learning how to do hypnosis on other people. So John Lithgow's character, this is where it gets kind of strange, ends up sick, very sick. And we find out he's been poisoned. And blame runs to Nell. And she gets arrested and tried. But she's acquitted. But we find out that she actually did poison her husband, and she used hypnosis. All this time, she was using hypnosis, and she used the scissors that she cut her husband's nose hairs with as the object to put him under, because, you know, that was their thing, the nose hair clippings. That was their connection. So this movie is sort of like The Color Purple, where, you know, Celie is going to kill her husband with the razor strap, but it's a white woman, and it's nose hair clippers, and she uses hypnosis to make the guy drink poison. And it's also, what was I going to say about this? It's a cross between that and something else, which has slipped from my mind. But this is a must-see movie. If you can rent it on Netflix, do so. I'd love to see the director's cut. With, you know, because it's full frame. This particular version I have is full frame, so it's the original must have been destroyed. I mean, this is probably put out in video, and they used a video to transfer this movie onto DVD, a video version. But it's still worth it because you get to see the nose hair scene, right? And so that's my recommendation, Mesmerized, starring Jodie Foster. As a side note, I also saw Goldie Hawn's Lovers and Liars. I went through that. And in one scene, her and her Italian lover are at a seaside resort, and they're hungry. So the Italian lover says to this fisherwoman, "How much do you want for that squid?" And there's this sort of funny thing goes on, and he's looking at the squid in the bucket, and it shoots ink in his face. And so Goldie Hawn says, after the husband is angry, not the husband, the Italian lover says, "I'm going to kill that squid and eat it now that it shot, you know, ink in my face. Goldie Hawn says, "No, you'll do no such thing. I'll buy the squid and you're going to throw it back in the ocean." So, she gives the fisherwoman 500 lira for the squid, and the fisherwoman picks the squid up out of the bucket and bites its neck to kill it, and then hands it over to the boyfriend. And Goldie Hawn is standing right there. I mean, this is, it's just weird, you know, to see this gross, you know, it's the 70s. It was a 70s movie. I mean, they did all kinds of shit like that, killing animals and movies like that. It was killed right there, the squid. The squid was killed. You could see its little tentacles, you know, curling around and then suddenly going, it was a dead squid. And so anyway, so if you see Gold Lovers and Liars, look for the squid scene. Da 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 da. I know your eyes in the morning sun. I feel you touch me in the pouring rain. And the moment that you wander far from me, I wanna feel you in my arms again. And you come to me on a summer breeze. Keep me warm in your love, then you softly leave. And it's me you need to show. How deep is your love? How deep is your love? I really mean to learn. Cause we're living in a world of fools, breaking us down, when they all should let us be. We belong to you and me. I believed in very soul. You're the light in my deepest, darkest hour. You're my savior when I fall. And you may not think that I care for you, when you know down inside that I really do. And it's me you need to show. How deep is your love? How deep is your love? I really mean to learn. Cause we're living in a world of fools, breaking us down, when they all should let us be. We belong to you and me. How deep is your love? How deep is your love? I really mean to learn. Down when they all should let us be. We belong to you and me. Now, for listeners, longtime listeners of the Flatus Show know that one of my favorite films of all time is Night of the Living Dead, which, as you know, I saw when I was five. at the drive-in movies with my parents. Terrified of zombies ever since, but not really terrified. I've come since love zombies, but they were always in my dreams. I mean, when I had nightmares. And I'm thinking, you know, well, this is George Romero, right? And ultimately, The Night of the Living Dead is a very political movie. It had a black hero in it, right? It was very graphic for its time, you know? There's a lot of things about it. And, you know, the whole story about the zombies coming back, the sort of like, it's a mythological story, you know, sort of like a story of our time, the zombie story is. So, you know, George Romero went on to make a great number of films in the 70s, or a number of films, I should say. He was a Pittsburgh native, and he filmed all his movies in Pittsburgh. And, you know, it's similar to the way John Waters' film worked, too. You know, early John Waters, and it may be even up to the time that, you know, he did A Dirty Shame, it was all filmed in Baltimore. So, you know, John Waters' films in Baltimore, George Romero in Pittsburgh. George Romero does have a new film coming out, which I don't know the name of it, but I did pre-order it on DVD, and I'll talk about it when I get it. But the movie I'm going to talk about is a remake of a George Romero film called The Crazies. One, which I didn't even know about the original Crazies. I would like to get a copy of that. What I find is a lot of George Romero films aren't available. They're hard to get, you know. Now, Night of the Living Dead is everywhere because apparently it was one of these films that didn't have the proper writing, like a notice on it in the film itself. So it became public domain after 25 years. And that was in the 80s, I guess. Because it's from 67, 68, 69, so 70, 80. It became public domain, and people just started stealing it. Basically, poor George Romero, unlike his other films, which I think he properly, you know, tagged. But The Crazies, again, I never knew about the original Crazies. I don't know too much about his other films, but though I do have a few of them. The ones that are not zombie movies, I should say. So The Crazies is based. So this remake of The Crazies is about a town in Iowa, filmed in Iowa. I'm sure the original Crazies was filmed in Pennsylvania. And there's this plane, a government plane, crashes and it releases this airborne disease, which turns people into insane and violent. And so it starts. And it's about the town and about the government containing the problem and people trying to escape and, you know, people being quarantined. We find out that the government really was separating people as the people who had the disease and who didn't, right? And we find out that even if you didn't have the disease, you ended up being killed anyway. I mean, not to give away anything in the movie. Maybe I ought to say anything more about it. It's a good movie. It really is good. It's worth a rental. You know, I find that it's, for DVDs to own a DVD, I used to think I had a bit different criteria. Like, there are movies which I really wanted to own, like The Exorcist and, like, you know, classic films. And then I started, you know, buying DVDs and stuff. And, you know, I find out that, you know, even if I think I really like this movie, The Crazies, I did buy it because it's George Romero. That's why I bought it. You know, will I watch it? How many more times will I watch it? You know, so I'm very careful about what I buy because I know that there's only a limited amount of space that I have. And I had bought a lot of stuff that I think to myself, why the hell did I buy that? I mean, it was okay to watch once. So, you know, I'm very careful. I try to be very careful these days about what I buy. Because unless it's something I'm going to watch a few times or has some sort of like lasting value, like I'm really glad I bought Mesmerized. To go back to Mesmerized. First off, this movie, I think I paid $3 for this. Maybe $2. It was very cheap. Three movies, right? But it was worth, the $2 was worth seeing Jodie Foster clip John Lithgow's nose hairs. The Crazies, on the other hand, is a well-made film. I mean, it's very suspenseful. There are some twists and turns in it. If you like horror movies, you're going to like The Crazies, you know? Let me just say that. So, I recommend The Crazies to my people. But I would also recommend that if you don't go out and buy it right away, rent it and see if you like it. And if you really like it, then buy it. Unless you're a big George Romero fan like I am, then go right ahead and buy it. I think you'll be good. The bonus features, now I didn't listen to the audio commentary, but, you know, it's like basic shit, you know, like how they did the special effects and, you know. It wasn't very interesting. Most of the extras were not interesting. They have this thing, this Crazies motion comic episode, I don't know, and they say you can watch the first two episodes on the DVD and then get the rest on iTunes. It's like, it's stupid. It's like pictures and then this narrative over it, you know? It's like, I don't know. I didn't like it. I thought it was kind of dumb. But the movie is good, and the lead in it, Timothy Oliphant, Sheriff Dutton, he is so effing cute. He was on the, what's that movie? Damages. He was on Damages, the second season of Damages. But, he is worth it. This movie is worth buying just to see Timothy Oliphant do his stuff, because he is just so cute and sexy. And for my straight listeners, there's plenty of boobs to go around, I think. Actually, I don't remember if there's any boobs, but there's women in it. So, anyway. So, I think you can enjoy The Crazies if you're into horror films, if you're into George Romero. Like it, love it, rent it. Let me know what you think at 206-984-3617.
Quando salì della Habana, valgame Dio.
The Ocean of Song by Ella Wheeler Wilcox. In a land beyond sight or conceiving, in a land where no blight is, no wrong, no darkness, no graves, and no grieving, there lies the great ocean of song. And its waves, oh, its waves unbeholden by any save gods and their kind, are not blue, are not green, but are golden, like moonlight and sunlight combined. It was whispered to me that their waters were made from the gathered-up tears that were wept by the sons and the daughters of long-vanished eras and spheres. Like white sands of heaven the spray is that falls all the happy day long, and whoever it touches straightway is made glad with the spirit of song. Up, up to the clouds, where their hoary-crowned heads melt away in the skies. The beautiful mountains of glory, each side of the song ocean rise. Here day is one splendor of skylight, of God's light with beauty replete. Here night is not night, but is twilight, pervading, unfolding, and sweet. Bright birds from all climes and all regions that sing the whole glad summer long are dumb till they flock here in legions and lave in the ocean of song. It is here that the four winds of heaven, the winds that do sing and rejoice, it is here they first came and were given the secret of sound and a voice. Far down along beautiful beaches, by night and by glorious day, the throng of the gifted one reaches, their foreheads made white with the spray. And a few of the sons and the daughters of this kingdom, cloud hidden from sight, go down in the wonderful waters and bathe in those billows of light. And their souls evermore are like fountains, and liquid and lucent and strong. High over the tops of the mountains gush up the sweet billows of song. No drought time of waters can dry them. Whoever has bathed in that sea, all dangers, all deaths, they defy them, and are gladder than gods are.
You've been listening to The Flatus Show. You can reach me at flatusshow@gmail.com or come by and visit my website at theflatusshow.com. Thank you for listening.
He was such a happy, loving Romeo, till his baby bought the ukulele. Now on the porch every evening, deep from life away, sadly you hear him say, ukulele baby, of love I'm singing, but you keep ringing. You've just got me crazy, the way you roll those dreamy eyes around. When you strum that hickey doola, I get warm, but you get cuckoo cooler. Ukulele baby, oh won't you lay your ukulele down? He loved music, but he loved his loving more. He knew just what loving was invented for. So when he starts to cry love song, he starts to sigh to her, he starts to cry to her. Ukulele baby, of love I'm singing, but you keep ringing. You just got me crazy, the way you roll those dreamy eyes around. Oh, when you strum that hickey doola, I get warm, but you get too cooler. Ukulele baby, oh won't you lay your ukulele down? I said, ukulele baby, of love I'm singing, but you keep ringing. You've just got me crazy, the way you roll those dreamy eyes around. Oh, when you strum that hickey doo 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 la, I get warm, but you get coo-coo-coo-coo-coo-coo-coo-la. Ukulele baby, oh won't you lay your ukulele down, 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 let
hey, your ukulele
down.
Maybe we should get to know each other better.